This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه واستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من بين خلقه وخليله. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح لهذه الأمة صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. As I promised at the beginning of this month, today's khutbah is going to be about the second objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding fasting, the month of Ramadan. And it's actually the objective of every other ibadah, be it zakat, salat, hajj, umrah, you name it. These acts of worship are supposed to teach us many things. And as we mentioned before, the top objective of these ibadat is taqwa, to achieve and attain and exercise taqwa. And many of these acts of worship also teach us sabr, or endurance, or patience and persistence. Sabr in its all manifestations. Sabr, this very comprehensive concept. But they're also supposed to induce or produce or show us something that will compel us to practice and live this beautiful quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as shukr. Allah azza wa jal tells us that when you finish the counts of the month, or the days of the month of Ramadan, when you're done with your month, when you tukmilu al-idda, when you finish your fast, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You have to arrive to this station, to this place, to this beautiful space of shukr. And you should be feeling it by now. If you're not there, you have 5 more days to get yourself there. Very often we talk about this on the day of Eid. But I wanted to take advantage of the last 5 days of this month. Perhaps the most precious of all, because there are only 5 days left. And for those who may think it's too late, it's not too late. And for those who think that, okay, tonight is it, no, it's not. There's a lot of catching up to do to arrive to this place of shukr. What other things does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention in the Quran that are worthy of shukr? That are worthy of expressing gratitude and appreciating and being thankful and grateful for. These are examples just to start to help us think. I know in the Quran we have come upon this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to enumerate or count the blessings of Allah, you won't be able to. You won't be able to come up with a total. You will not be able to enumerate them. You will not be able to say, oh, I have these many blessings. You won't. Because they're endless. That does not mean that we should not count the blessings of Allah. This verse is not telling us not to think and contemplate and count the blessings of Allah. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider the blessings of Allah. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't appreciate the beautiful things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. There are many things that teach us to do that and be aware and mindful. Again, as we said, the month of Ramadan is about developing this quality of mindfulness so that we can pay attention. So by now, we should be getting there. But today I wanted to explore some of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran said are worthy of shukr. They're supposed to show us, make us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be thankful, be grateful, appreciate them and experience this joy. And before I start talking about some of them, I wanted to say something here, my dear community members, and this is for, you know, very, very often we have things that we take for granted in our lives. As a matter of fact, most of our blessings we take for granted. But one thing that is very interesting about dua, if you want to do dua, authentic dua, your own dua, we are told that you're supposed to begin your dua with what? With praising Allah, thanking Allah, telling Allah Azza wa Jal what it is that you appreciate about His Lordship. So that compels you to really think of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, the things that really matter, the things that you, in an intimate setting, when you're alone with Allah Azza wa Jal, the things that you tell Allah Azza wa Jal you're most grateful for, are the things that matter the most, or should matter the most. What are the things that you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you're thankful for? The Prophet teaches us this, by the way. This is part of the art of dua, the etiquette of dua. You're supposed to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you're thankful for. Oh Allah, thank you for guiding us. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for this, thank you for that. Before you even start asking for anything, you should actually appreciate and be thankful for and praise Allah Azza wa Jal for what He has already given you. Imagine going to someone that has been giving you everything that you need without you asking, and then now you have this one thing that you are desperately wanting, and you go to them, and before you even acknowledge what they have done, you start making demands with a sense of entitlement. And if you don't get it right away, you're disappointed and you're upset and you're frustrated. SubhanAllah. So the Prophet teaches us that, no, when you come to Allah Azza wa Jal to submit your request or to ask for something, you should praise Him first for what He has already given you, which forces you to really think about these blessings that you haven't been really thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for. It will make you realize them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, for instance, one of the things that we should be grateful for. When Allah Azza tells us the story of anyone, by the way, these are lessons for us as well. So Allah Azza says to Bani Israel, after they have committed all kinds of sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they received wake-up calls, and many of them repented, Allah Azza says, ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. We have forgiven you. We granted you redemption. We told you that you're redeemed so that you would be thankful and move forward in the right direction. Afu of Allah Azza wa Jal. What we have been begging Allah for the past 5 nights, and then what we should be begging Allah Azza wa Jal for the next 5 nights as well. It doesn't end tonight. It didn't end last night or on the 21st night or the 23rd or whichever night you thought was really Laylatul Qadr, because you never know. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended this to his beloved wife Aisha. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. You acknowledge Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness, that he's forgiving. You believe in it and you are grateful for it. And now you're trying to count on it. And you're saying, oh Allah, extend that forgiveness to me. So Allah says it's worthy of that. You should be thankful. You should be thankful like someone who knows that they are worthy of receiving it. And if they're not worthy of receiving it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of extending it, because he's the most kind, most generous, most gracious. Do it with thankfulness. Yes, do it desperately, but in a state of thankfulness, as someone who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention in the Quran that is worthy of us being thankful for? Allah azza wa jalla again says to Bani Israel, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Resurrection. We resurrected you. We brought you back to life after you were supposed to be completely annihilated, destroyed. Once and for all, we gave you a second chance. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That perhaps you may be thankful. Maybe this is going to make you thankful. Surviving or being brought back to life and being given another chance. And if you don't want to be like them, make sure that you appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's second chances and resurrection. Every day you and I experience a form of resurrection. Every single day. Every single day. This morning, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back to life. He gives us another chance that is worthy of gratitude. We should thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. What else does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that we should be thankful for? Allah azza wa jalla says, wa litukabbiru Allah ala ma hadakum. Magnify and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah. الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا. Praise be to Allah who guided us to this. We're very fortunate. We're very lucky. You know, I don't get out very often to go, you know, to different places in the month of Ramadan. But whenever I do, I'm like so thankful that we're amongst the few that are aware of the significance of this time. And this act of worship, this very special practice. Alhamdulillah, we pass by cafeterias in different places while people are eating and drinking and doing all kinds of things. We're passing through in a state of dignity, self-control, aware of this beautiful opportunity. And we're practicing fasting. And my heart goes to those believers, those believing men and women who are not capable of fasting. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant them shifa and afiyah. May Allah give them wellness and cure them. And I know many who feel so bad for not being able to do it anymore. Those who have done it in the past and they wish they can do it. They have this chronic condition that does not allow them to do that. So they give kafara, which, by the way, is estimated to be $10 per person or per day. My heart goes out to them, but rest assured that because of that feeling that you have, because of your appreciation of the past experiences and opportunities, Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you fully. As long as you acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing upon you for guiding you to this, for guiding us to this place, for guiding us to this act of worship, for inspiring us. And that's why when we begin our dua, even in Qunut, Allahumma hdina fima, we ask for guidance. Another beautiful blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us as a community. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. Remember, O believers, we are the extension of that community, by the way. This doesn't only apply to them. Allah Azza wa Jal gave you victory at some point when you were very little in number. You were outnumbered, you were small, you were insignificant in the eyes of those. He stood by you, gave you victory. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Be mindful of Allah. Fear Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And be thankful for that. How could you forget that? How could you ever allow yourself to fall in a state of despair and helplessness and feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abandoned you? You weren't even 2 billion strong, as Dr. Zaman always says. You weren't 2 billion strong. You were a few hundreds, outnumbered, fatigued, exhausted, and everyone was conspiring against you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sent armies of angels to come to your aid when you put your trust and faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing else. And when you were thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you were humble before Him, Allah Azza wa Jal came to your aid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine intervention came down, and the whole matter was settled in a matter of hours. So that you would be thankful. Remember that lesson. How could you forget it? It's not a coincidence that that incident took place in the month of Ramadan. So when the month of Ramadan comes, we are reminded of it. So that we put our passion, our faith, our trust in the right place. And as an ummah, we have been putting our appreciation, we have been banking on the wrong people, the wrong entities, the wrong organizations, the wrong coalitions, the wrong alliances. And when they fail us, we are disappointed. We are hurt. Shame on us. We're going to the wrong place. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. It was Him that gave you victory. What else should one be thankful for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions being thankful for these things that sometimes we complain about, which is a sign of immaturity. That's why you find not all, mashallah. You know, I'm so impressed by the number of young ladies and young gentlemen in our community, in our midst, whom Allah Azza wa Jal has inspired and opened their hearts. Yes, sometimes, you know, they may have too much energy. But it's so beautiful. You have no idea how much I'm loving this. And I tell you, the average attendance, the average attendee of these programs that we have, of the young Muslims, I don't know what to call you guys. The average person is just precious and priceless and much more mature than many that I see in other places. Wallahi, we have a blessing. We have something to be thankful for. They should not be treated. They should be appreciated. They should not be treated like a problem to be contained. or a challenge to be contended with. Something that, but rather as an asset, to be as an energy, as this great resource that needs to be challenged in the or channeled in the right direction. You've seen them going around campaigning, doing different things. They have great abilities and talents in it. We just need to be able to organize them, inspire them, lead them in the right direction. And if we as a community or as an organization fail, then shame on us. So I want just to give a shout out to them. Those who have been coming for the different programs, staying overnight. Those sometimes they do reckless stuff. May Allah guide them and protect them and keep them safe and bless them. But we should be thankful for that. So one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should be thankful for, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Allah Azza wa Jal talks to us about these acts of worship. And again, I will say to the young folks, sometimes you get frustrated, you just want the fun part. No. You have to do the part that teaches you discipline, teaches you beautiful qualities. You have to take care of your salah. You have to take care of your wudu. You have to take care of your tahara, your purification properly. And you yourself should be inquisitive and find out to perfect your ibadah. Because if your wudu is not proper, your salah is not going to be accepted. So you should be the one seeking that. And also the responsibility falls on your parents and your educators, on the elders in the community to guide you compassionately, to perfect your ibadah, and to improve your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be frustrated. It's not meant to be difficult. It's not difficult. Once you master it, it's not difficult. So Allah mentions in the Quran how we should get up to salah and what we should do and how we should perform wudu properly and how we should maintain our purity, physical and spiritual. Then at the end, Allah says, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ حَرَجٍ It's not meant to make things difficult for you. وَلَكِنْ however, يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ Allah wants to sanctify you, purify you. There is an objective that you may not totally understand or realize, but one day you're going to get there. So do it. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ And Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to complete His favor upon you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So that you would be thankful. Be thankful for that. It's a beautiful thing. Many people out there, they envy us for it. And I will conclude with this. You have no idea how many times I've heard from people. Either those who have come very close to accepting Islam or very close to the Muslim community and interacted with the Muslim community, they were part of it. And I will tell you a story from the seerah, inshallah, in the second khutbah. Or those who actually made the transition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the courage and the tawfiq and the guidance, and they actually come to Islam. I remember one prominent figure one time telling me, you know, you have no idea what it was like when I first came to the masjid and I saw a crowd. It was Jum'ah, lined up, sitting, and then getting up, following the imam, sitting, following the imam, doing different things. And when he saw people making wudu, the ablution, he said, it was amazing. It was amazing. What is this? Who are these people? It doesn't make you a weirdo. It makes you special. Different, but special. You're the one Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen to really be the manifestation of these great things. You're the one practicing it. Everyone else is missing out. They don't know what they're missing until they actually come and experience it. So don't feel weirded out by it. Be thankful. They're beautiful. And perhaps maybe you should find a way to learn the significance of these beautiful acts of worship. They're meant to make you a better person, purer individual, exceptional in every way. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant you and I shukr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. As many of you notice, people say the events or what is happening in Gaza. It's not what is happening in Gaza, it's how the people of Gaza are handling and how they're standing and how they're resisting and how they are maintaining contentment, how they're practicing this beautiful quality we're talking about, shukr, being grateful for the little that they have, has been inspiring so many people, including non-Muslims, to accept Islam, to advocate for them, to do a lot of things. People going there, putting their lives on the line, getting killed, assassinated, deliberately. Non-Muslims. Aid workers, people who wanted to just feed people, people who had passion to feed others, maliciously targeted and killed in cold blood by an entity that has a long history of doing these things, like the world is waking up to it. And then in the middle of all of that, you find young folks, young men and women. I'm not saying that they're, you know, people are, you know, they're all happy. No, there are many who are exhausted, fatigued, tired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with them, because they are enduring something that is unimaginable. But then you have these examples of people standing their ground, people saying, I lost my parents. Young, 11-year-old, lost my parents. They're both gone. But I have Allah. Today, one of them, a blogger that continues to help. He's losing more distant members. He lost the immediate family members, but he's like, we're not going to give up. He maintains that smile with tears flowing from his eyes. It's like, as long as we have another day to live and resist and stand, we will continue to do that. Ajib. And as I said, I've been saying this, you cannot fake this. You may be able to fake it for a few hours, for a day, for two, three weeks, I don't know. But for 6 months? For 6 decades? You cannot. You cannot. This is authenticity. This is what this state of gratefulness, state of gratitude and thankfulness gives you. It liberates you. When you appreciate everything and anything that you have, no matter how much your enemy, no matter how much the wrongdoers and the tyrants try to take from you, they cannot take that happiness and contentment out of your heart. They cannot, unless you give it up. So that is inspiring everyone to accept Islam, or to at least appreciate what Islam has done to them. So in the seerah, we are reminded, and I'll quickly go through the story, of a man that used to hate Muslims, that imposed all kinds of sanctions and inflicted so much pain on the Muslims. A man by the name of Thumama ibn Uthal. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam captured him one day. Not knowing who he was, they brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized him. And he said, Thumama, what do you think I'm going to do with you? And Thumama responded. He said, if you punish me, then you're punishing someone who has great value to his people. You're taking a risk. And if you forgive and pardon, you're going to pardon someone who will acknowledge that favor from you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Still there's defiance. But still, as So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to keep him in the masjid. They kept Thumama in the masjid for 3 days. Each time the Prophet passes by him, some narrations say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would talk to him briefly. Other narrations said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look at him, smile at him, and walk away. And they were told to treat him as the Prophet and as Islam and as Allah azza wa jal taught us to treat everyone, including enemy combatants, including prisoners. I don't want to say humanely, I want to say Islamically. Humanity has not known anything like that before Islam, except whatever the prophets like Ibrahim and others taught. So they treated him, they gave him food, they actually gave him things that they themselves would deprive themselves from. They took care of him, because you have to take care of your prisoner. You treat them like almost like a guest. They're in your custody. This is a human being, a living being. You have to take care of that person. After 3 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, go, you leave. Set him free. We're done with him. He has seen us from inside, from within. And he developed this deep sense of appreciation and love for this community and for this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw what they are made of, what they represent, how thankful, how content, how pleasant they are. He came back and he embraced Islam. This is what we have to offer, ya jama'ah. May Allah azza wa jal make us an example for others. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma izzal islam wa ahla wa adhil al-shirka wa ahla. Allahumma ansuri al-islam wa al-muslimin. أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمر الرشدة يعز فيه أهل الطاعة ويهدى فيه أهل المعصية ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر. اللهم انصر أهل غزة نصرا مؤزرا وافتح لهم فتحا مبينا واجعل لهم فرجا قريبا واجعل لنا في نصرتهم نصيبا. اللهم عليك بأعدائهم وبمن بغى عليهم بعزتك يا عزيز يا جبار. My dear brothers and sisters, many of our local families who are needy are really suffering as well, and we should not forget them. Remember that zakat al-mal, is really intended to enrich and to satisfy the needs of the local poor and needy population. If we don't do that, and I know that our attention has been focused on different places and different projects, we need to not forget this. Zakat is actually their haqq. They are the top priority. They have more haqq in whatever we make here. Locally, whatever you build, whatever wealth you build here, the poor and the needy of this area, of the Muslims, are the on the top of that list of recipients. They're supposed to be, their needs have to be satisfied and met. And then you go beyond that. Same thing if you have wealth that is being made or built somewhere else in the world, in that locality, you're supposed to actually distribute the zakah there as well. So let's make sure that we do that. And my understanding is that we have not reached that point. So please be aware of it. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to deliver the haqq of those who have haqq upon us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen wa Aqimis Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استو استقيموا واعتدلوا Is that a thumbs up from Okay, we're good? Okay. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Bear with me. There's a lot going on this weekend, and inshallah, Eid details as well. So Eid al-Fitr is being hosted by Muslim Society of Memphis, and that's going to be at the Memphis Sports and Event Center. It'll be either this Tuesday, April 9th, or Wednesday, April 10th, inshallah. And the prayer will start at 10 a.m. Masjid al-Salam is asking for everybody to bring your own prayer rugs and bags for shoes, inshallah. The festival will be that coming Saturday, April 13th, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., and the festival will be here at MIC, inshallah. And last detail is Zakat al-Fitr is $15 per person in each household. So if you haven't paid that yet, make sure you do so before the prayers. There's boxes in both hallways. You can also donate your Zakat al-Fitr online. For this weekend, we have the Quran competition for the Quran program students is today from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then tonight, we have the Khatam of the Quran going on. So after that, after we finish with it, inshallah, we're also going to have sweets provided in the Nassim Banquet Hall. But you're also welcome to bring and share a dish as well. And then after that, we have the last after-hours session for young professionals and college students with Sheikh Faqih, and that's going to be in the community room. On Saturday, for the general public, the competition for the Quran competition is going to be starting at a new time. It was at 5 p.m., but it's going to be at 1 p.m. on Saturday, if you've registered for that. And then lastly, on Sunday is the PBS annual fundraiser iftar, which is going to be here at MIC at 6:30 p.m. And one last detail is, starting tonight until Sunday, inshallah, because of all the different events that we're having in the banquet hall, the sisters are being asked to either pray upstairs or in the new grand hall. The Nassim banquet hall won't be available from now until Sunday, inshallah. So either upstairs or in the new grand hall. And then also, you want to come? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Saturday, April 13th for the Eid festival in GMMC, Greater Memphis, Mississippi communities are going to be doing Islamic and Palestinian knowledge ball. So basically, you know, we cannot be celebrating, having fun, laughing, and partying while people, Muslim people, kids, Gaza kids, getting killed every day. So we are going to dedicate that festival, this festival coming up on April 13th, for the people, the Muslim people, the kids, especially in Gaza and Palestine. We're going to show that we're standing with them. Basically, we're going to have, for the kids, for the adults, like a Palestinian Islamic knowledge ball. We're going to do some questions for the kids about Palestine, about Islam. We're going to give them some gifts. So basically, it's going to be dedicated for them. On that day, we're going to wear differently, probably not just suits like every Eid. If you can, for men, wear the kufiyas. And for women, if they could wear abaya or the Palestinian or any thobe, just to show it's a little bit different, dedicated for these people of Palestine and Gaza, inshallah. Because it's not right that we celebrating or having parties while our families are getting killed in Gaza. So please be prepared, bring kufiyas, bring flags. If you don't have flags, we will give you some. Wear a thobe, abaya, whatever you can for Palestine. And do some research and read about Palestine, because we're going to be asking a lot of questions as part of that event, to make it a fun day also. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.